Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together today. Thank you, Lord, that we know that when we come together, your Spirit is with us, your presence is with us, and we just welcome you here. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken our hearts, our minds, so that we may be able to connect with you, hear your voice, and Lord, receive from you the things that you have prepared for us. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken the world in our heart to produce fruit and to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I suggest I'm going to put the video of last week on YouTube, maybe tomorrow, something like that. It's uploading now. But I would suggest that, you know, I don't know if you already listened to the audio that is on our website, but I did yesterday because I didn't know what I preached last week. I mean, you know, I came here and the Lord just went somewhere else. I had to, at least for half of the message, was not from my notes. And so I had to really remember what I said, because when I in that state, I don't know what I'm saying. So, but I know that I'm saying the right thing. So as yesterday I was listening to the recording, you know, I got blessed. That's the thing I wanted to say. And, you know, I really felt that it was good for me to listen to it, because it ministered to me. And I'm sure it's going to be ministering to you. And I didn't understand, you know, quite a few people came to me at the end of the service last Sunday, and they, you know, they thanked me about the thing. And I said, well, I didn't think of anything strange. But anyway, now I could see why people were talking to me after the service last Sunday. So I suggest that you go, because it goes together with what I've been preaching before and what I'm going to be preached today. I'm just falling back from those things. Really, you know, last week I, you know, was pointing out some fundamental concepts about our relationship with God. This is the most important thing in our Christian experience that we can have. You know, you can do Bible study, you can do lots of things, and, you know, and be just religious. But when you have a relationship with God, it's a different story. That's where the things change, because that's what God wants from us. He wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us. And many, you know, because there's not much preached about it, and many understand it, you know, many don't know how to go about doing it. And so, what I'm trying to do is really get you to see and understand and be able to move in that direction. And it's, nothing different than a relationship with somebody else, with a person. God is a person. And as the same principles apply there. And the relationship we have with others, you know, are just a training for the one that we can have with God, because it's more difficult. We don't see God. All the spiritual things, we do not see them. And so we had to perceive them by faith. And we had to learn to operate that way. We had to learn to understand that this is something that happened at the heart level, okay, and that's the heart probably is one of the most difficult things for us to understand. I don't care what the more I see people writing about the heart, they see that they don't understand what they're talking about. You know, the Bible says that we cannot even see our own heart, and that's completely true. Now, see, the thing I wanted to just remind you of is that, we have to realize the things that we live in two dimensions. The physical dimension and the spiritual dimension. So we are actually, living in two different spaces. And because we are living in two different spaces, there are different things that take place in each of the spaces, in each dimension, in each reality. Okay? And we have to connect with the spiritual reality, which is more important than the physical reality. You cannot come in contact with God and have a relationship with God in the physical. Because God is a spirit. And so if you want to connect with God, you have to operate in the spiritual dimension. Jesus said in John 4:24, those who worship him should worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. It's not in ceremonials. It's not in physical things. The physical things are nothing else than a manifestation at the over level of what we are. Because it comes the day, and it's coming soon, I believe, in which our spiritual dimension is going to be more important than the physical one. Now we are blinded by our senses. There you go. Get to off a tangent here. We are blinded by our senses. And we end up being so caught up with the physical things that we miss what God is trying to do and try to deal with us spiritually, in our spirit. Now, what I'm trying to show here is the importance of actually being able to connect with God in the spirit. Because that's the only way you can connect with God, because he's a spirit. Okay. And there are spiritual laws and physical laws that he created at the beginning. And the spiritual laws, we saw them because we live in this world. But the spiritual laws, actually, they're not so evident most of the time, and most people don't understand them. And we have to go, and the way that you get them is from the Bible. The Bible is the source of all this information that has to do with the spiritual dimension. But religion has limited God to the physical. And when something happens that is beyond the physical understanding, they say it's a miracle. God doesn't break any of these laws. Miracles is not that God's breaking spiritual, physical laws. There are spiritual laws that are superior to the physical law, and they take over. But they are just planned and organized from the very beginning. God does not change. He doesn't break what he did before. You have to understand that. Otherwise, you end up getting confused and you end up getting into religion, trying to get God to do things. You can get God to do anything that he doesn't want to do and he has not done already. That's why a lot of time people pray and waste their time. Because they try to make God change something, when instead he doesn't need to change anything. You have to line up yourself with what God said. And you do that by faith. And you don't do anything. You don't change God. You line yourself up with what God wants to do in the first place. And He has done it already, and you have to be able to receive it. Now, so that was one of the things I wanted to see. And we are so caught up, so bound, so blinded by our the noise that our senses make, because we just are so, you know, controlled by our senses, that we don't hear the whisper that God speaks to us at the level that we are not sensitized about. And that's what we had to learn to do, to be able to connect with God. The spiritual realm is much more powerful than the physical. But we don't, you know, we try to think about God from the physical instead. You know, that's the wrong way, the wrong direction to take. You had to start from the spiritual to go into the physical, because that's where we can make an impact and change things in the physical, because what is physical is temporary. What is spiritual is eternal. I'm going to talk sometime about the multidimensional reality in which we live. That's going to be an interesting topic. And I'm not saying anything that is not in the Bible. It's all there. Now, the other thing I wanted to say, okay, is that, you know, we come to conclusion from the things we see in the physical. And that is a problem. Because the things that are physical, first of all, as I said, they are temporary. Second, they can be changed. The physical things never stay the same. Everything passes away. Okay. So you cannot base yourself to make a stable decision based on the things that you see physically. But you can make a decision that is stable and is not moving, is not changed, when you base yourself on the spiritual reality, the spiritual truth. There is no really absolute truth physically. I realized that when I was a scientist. The more I knew, the less I knew. And I couldn't base myself on any of the things, because the more I learned, the more I had to learn. But in the spirit, it's a completely different story. It doesn't work that way. You get the truth, you have the truth. That's the first thing that I said when I met with God in 1972. I was looking for the truth. Now I have it. And I haven't changed my mind since then. Okay. Now, we're going to go more into that. But for the time being, okay, we had to understand, okay, that we grow when we make decisions, when we try to understand the world around us, and we do it starting from the physical realm, we are going to always be wrong. Because it's always limited. You see, the physical reality is the result of the spiritual reality. God created everything from the spiritual dimension. And we have to understand that, and we have to understand that there are some implications for that. You know, Jesus was explaining this to a rabbi that went to see him at night, Nicodemus, you know, and he said something that is so critical, and you know, even believers don't understand the implication of that, which is John 3:6. It says, what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. You cannot get spiritual result doing fleshy things or being based on fleshy conclusions. And when I'm talking about fleshy conclusion, I'm talking about something that is determined by the physical experiences that we have. That means our senses. What we learn from the world around us in the physical. That is unstable. Okay, we have more basic things to understand, and we can always be better off if we start from the spiritual dimension, even when we have limited understanding. Because it's always better and more solid and more true than the what we can do from the physical. The physical is going to deceive us. It's going to keep us in the same place because it's a close environment. It's a close reality. Now, you know, we had to hear, get information from the spiritual dimension to be able to make the right decisions in our life. And that we can get from the Bible, in which that is really what is accumulated in the Bible through the centuries, in which people connected with the physical dimension, connected with God, and they got information, and we had to, and He has provided for us because He wants us to understand these things. And we have problems sometimes getting, communicating, receiving the communication from Him. But Jesus says something very important and very clear. The people take it as a tale, not as a story, when instead that's the reality that we had to come in contact with. Jesus in John chapter 10, verse 27 said, my spirit, you know, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. The following verse, 20, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. Here he's talking about, you know, he's not just telling stories. What he's telling here is, you know, you better hear what I'm saying. Not just, you know, in those days. Because He is alive, He is well, and He communicates today as much, even more than He did then. But we have to be able to hear Him. And if we hear Him, okay, that means, you know, He said, you know, they recognize my voice, they know me, you know, they follow me. See, the only way to follow Him is not to go according to rules and religious stuff, a religious idea, is to actually be able to hear from Him what He's telling us to do, because there is much more variety and flexibility in dealing with different issues that no matter what, you cannot have in the detail that you need to deal with in your life. He is speaking to us. Personally, He wants a personal relationship with us. This is why God created us. Not to go around building churches or cathedrals or physical things. He couldn't care less about our monuments, about our great things. He cared about our soul. He cared about us. He made us, not buildings. And he wants to deal with us personally. And when Jesus was talking about that, he said, and I give them eternal life. I'm not going to get into that. But the idea is that God's life is coming inside us when we hear him. When we hear him, we are going to experience God's life operating in us. The same spirit, the same life that operates in the spiritual dimension that otherwise we are cut off from. We need to connect with him. Okay, we need to hear God's voice. And if we do that, and if we hear them, you know, then we can follow him. Not just follow him, but where nobody can snatch us away from him. Because we know. And the things around us are not going to influence anymore us. They are not going to deceive us. They are not going to take us off a tangent so that we get mixed up in stuff that we shouldn't. Because we know the truth. We've been set free from these other old things that generally, you know, the world is going to provide for us. But when we do that, we have to learn to think along those lines. Think according to what is said to us. Think and have our thoughts and our decisions based on what is said. Now, the Bible is definitely a big component of that because it's the, you know, the write-up of the thing, but just the letter is killing. The Spirit gives life. Unless it's anointed and quickened by the Holy Spirit, are just rules and regulations and things. There is more than rules and regulations here. There is actually a understanding, a knowledge, experiential knowledge. See, we don't know God by studying him. We know God by interacting with him, by experiencing things. It's like, you know, you don't know a person by studying them, looking at their picture or finding out and doing an analysis of their behavior or whatever. That's dead. You know, you don't study God like you study, you know, a frog and take it apart and finding all the parts. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know God by interacting, like in the same way as I know you, is because we come together. We talk, we live together. There is no difference with God. And God wants us to realize that and start living accordingly. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So he's not a dead frog. He has a good sense of humor. Okay. He's alive and well, no matter what anybody else says. All right? So, experiential knowledge is required here. It's not mental knowledge. It's not sensual knowledge. It's experiential. You know, we had to have actually a spiritual experience with God to have met with God. And people that have a spiritual experience generally, you know, are transformed. The only way to be transformed by the gospel is when that produces a spiritual experience in you. Otherwise, just it's going to make just religion. Now, okay, but the problem that we have is the fact that we are trained from when we are born in this flesh by our senses, by the flesh. If you want, by the experience that we have in the flesh. So they take predominance about the experience we have in the spirit because they, you know, when Adam fell, lost the contact with God. You know, Adam was not living in this dimension. He could not have lived in this dimension thinking the way we think and doing the things he was doing. He had actually an interaction, personal relationship with God. He was walking with God. He was going in the garden and talking with God and having time with him. And, you know, but there was also a physical part that he was carrying out. Are you following me? That part, when he fell, was gone. It was cut off. When we are born again, Jesus said very clearly, I don't like the term born again anyway, because it is not scriptural. The translation is poor. The actual good translation is born from I, or from somewhere else. That means the spiritual dimension. See, born of the Spirit, Jesus explained when he was explaining to Nicodemus where what that was all about, was explaining and actually, you know, expanding the word. Before I was confusing, but then it became clearer and clearer that he was talking about being born in the spiritual dimension. Otherwise, you cannot even see what you're talking about. Now, okay. So the problem is we are so connected with the physical that they affect our way to think properly. We give far too much importance to the physical experience that we have, and we are desensitized to the spiritual experiences. But when we are born from I, born, you know, of God, then there is this opening that takes place between the two dimensions, because we, after all, are spirit and body. The soul is in between. But really, those are the two components that we are made of. When they come together, the soul comes up. Okay? But the idea is that we live, if we realize it or not, in both dimensions. And because the law of the spiritual dimension are more powerful and more important and more, you know, are the things that actually affect the physical dimension, then we should more be conscious of them than the one of the physical. Because the one of the physical can be changed. But the one of the spirit can't. Okay, now, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about clearly about the importance, okay, of our faith. Our faith is believing with the heart. The heart is a part, as I explained many times, is a part of our soul. It actually is the closest part to our spirit. It's the door between our spirit and our soul. Okay, so, you know, the thing it has to take place, okay, that faith has to do with the position of our heart. Okay. And that's the way we receive things from God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 and 10 says something that is so critical and so important, and, you know, and we have to understand the implications of that. It's not a religious statement. For by grace we have been saved through faith. And that is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. So you see, it's faith that allows us to receive grace. That means God's gift that we don't deserve. God's power to do the things he calls us to do. To be the way we should be. Okay? But that's the way we receive it, by faith. Faith is nothing else than, you know, pistis. In Greek means to believe. But to believe, not just to believe anything, means to believe what God said. When we believe that what God said, we believe the truth and we believe the things that are on the spiritual dimension. And we line up with that. Our heart has to line up with those beliefs. That means, you know, our decisions, our choices, our point of view, the what we determine, what is right and what is wrong, is determined by what the spiritual dimensions laws are saying, what God said in the first place from the very beginning. And that doesn't change, has never changed, and never will change. Okay. So, faith is what enables us to receive grace from God. If we don't have faith, we can't receive anything from God. And we blame God because the things don't happen the way we think they should do. Faith is nothing else than believing what God said. And actually, has to do with a decision that we make inside our heart. With a decision that says, I believe it, and I refuse not to believe it. So it's a choice that we make. Faith is a choice we make. We choose to believe God because we have free will. We can choose to believe God or choose not to believe what God said. We choose to believe God, and that pleases him. That's why without faith we cannot please him. Okay? Now, let me continue here. Okay. What happens is not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, it's by faith, not works. What does it mean that? That is not the things we do that enable us to receive God's grace. It's not how much hours we pray, how much we fast, how much we beg, how much we do all the things. God couldn't care less about those things. These are fleshy things. What God cares is for us to choose to believe what he said. And the whole thing is finished right there. Doesn't take hours of struggling with the things. It takes one decision and takes 1 second, a fraction of a second, to say, I believe it, I stick with it. And I don't care the things that come to me. And I'm not going to move through his grace because he's pleased by that attitude. He's not pleased by sacrifice and works and things, but he's pleased by us taking him at his word. That's as simple as it is. He said it, he communicated it with us, and we are taking it. He said, yes, I believe it, I stick with it, I believe you, rather than believe myself or anybody else that says anything that they want to say. I couldn't care less. The thing is, we are easily influenced by the world around us. And the world around us, what it's trying to do, and the enemy is trying to do, is to make us not believe what he said. Because if we don't believe what he said, we are not going to get what he promised. And so we go against God the same way as the enemy of God tries to get us in his side instead of God's side. So we had to know that we are not going to be deceived about believing the things that appear and not believing the things that he said. Because that's a problem. God doesn't go by appearances. He goes by the spirit. He goes by the heart, which the heart is the closest thing to the spirit in us. That's the way he judges us. Okay? Now, see, not the works, is not the work we do, is not the effort we make, is nothing has to do with us. The only thing has to do is we choose to believe God. This is not new revelation of the New Testament. It's been around from the very beginning. You read the Old Testament was saying the same thing, and the people that got anywhere in the Old Testament were because they operated by faith. If you remember, you know, the great multitude that heroes of faith, in the Old Testament, they all operated by what? By faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, by faith, everybody else. That's the way it works for everybody else. Doesn't change with New Testament, the Old Testament, the things, the story is the same. Now we should know better because Jesus came and explained lots of things that before this was most mortally a question of eating and missing. Wasn't very clear. But now it should be clear to us. And the Holy Spirit is opening our eyes even more in these days because the time is closed. Okay, so not of works. Because and what he does is goes against our nature. We think, you know, we had to work to get something. No, you know, we are his workmanship. He prepares us. He's we are his masterpiece. He does what he's doing and he's fixing us up. Just simply by the fact that we make that decision, that is not the easy thing to do sometimes. You had to choose to believe God in what he said. And that often goes contrary to everything that you see in the physical. And that's where people get stuck, because they get stuck by the things, what is born of the flesh is flesh, what is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't try to get spiritual result operating according to the senses. Now, and this is why Hebrews 11:6 says, you know, without faith it's impossible to please him. For you, God, you who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay, so that means, you know, that sounds exactly the same as, you know, Proverbs 3, 5 and 4 to 10. You know, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, you know, understanding based on the experiences you had, because that way he will guide you, he will direct you, he will give you victory, he will give you health, he will give you strength, he will make even your business go well. Do you believe that? I mean, that's the point. Because if you don't, you know, if you trust that you had to do something yourself, you're going to try to do something yourself, and you're going to be doing things that your thinking give you, not God's thoughts. You go have to go against your flesh if you want to operate by faith. All right. So he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And that means seek him, go after him, get information from him. Get direction according to the way God thinks. The way he thinks, that's the one. Okay. Now, the problem is that the world doesn't work that way. And the things sometimes don't go that way. So you get into, you know, James, and I quote often this scripture, but it's an important one. We have to understand it, and we have to understand. Now I think we are in a place in which we can understand it better. In James chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, and we're going to see it expanded and implemented. Okay, we have to look, how are you going to know that you are in the right direction? How are you going to go? No, that you are moving in the right direction. In the world, things are not going to go the way the world says sometimes. There are problems in the world. That's what it is in the world. The world is not going the way God wants it to go because man messed it up. Okay? He's in control. His laws operating anyway. He just regulated everything and everything goes according to his plan. If you believe it or not, if you understand it or not, still he's in control. His throne is established in heaven. But in heaven is much more powerful than earth. So we down here are making up lots of messes and messing up stuff, but doesn't matter because everything is going to work out the way it should at the end. Okay? So what we want to understand here is that we have to see to figure out where we are. It's not that by analyzing ourselves, and I'm going to go much more into our conscience and the fact, the problem that, you know, personal self-analysis and so on is destructive. You know, don't do self-analysis. That's not Christian. That's maybe psychology, maybe religion, but not Christianity. The Bible never says that we should be there digging up all the dirt from our life. Okay? We're going to see that in detail. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So, you know, he starts right there. You know, he started to say, why does it say count it all joy? Evidently, doesn't feel like counting it all joy. I mean, you know, that means that essentially, you know, you count it all joy. That means, you know, the trial or the temptation or the way you want the testing, some people call it that, you know. Why is this count it all joy? Because it doesn't feel, things don't go the way you want them, and you know the way God says that they should go, and you are not really too joyful about it. Okay? But it says count it all joy. Doesn't say go around rejoicing because you have problems. You have to count it all joy. That means, you know, you consider it joy because you look at it in a different way. You don't look at the things that is happening there. You look at what God wants to do. What God is going to do. What God has already done. Okay? Praise the Lord. You know, when you exercise faith and your faith receives the things that God gives through the faith that you exercise, okay, before you see the manifestation, your faith has to take it. When your faith has taken it, you're going to find out that things doesn't bother you anymore. You are going to have joy inside because you got it, even if you is not manifested. Okay, it's yours. That's what faith is. It's the substance of things hoped for. Okay, so it's there already. Okay, so you are there. Okay, and so you are going to go through a period of time in which you are going to have peace and joy, even if you don't have the answer, because you know that it's yours. Because you already is yours by faith. Okay. And, you know, the following verse says, you know, for the testing of your faith, that's what it is. It's a testing of your faith. Produces patience. Patience really, you know, is a fruit of the Spirit. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's nothing of the flesh. That decision has to come from your spirit, you know, from your heart, not from your physical experiences. You know, when you have it already, there is no faith there that is required. You need faith to get the things that you don't have. Okay? And faith is not something that you can master in the flesh. It has to come from the spiritual dimension, and to come from the spiritual dimension, at least you had to get the information from the Spirit. That's from the Word. You had to start lining up yourself with what the Word says, believing what the Word, before you see the manifestation. And you start standing there. And at the beginning, what's going to be happening is that you, or a moment focusing on the Word, and your faith starts raising up and becoming stronger. The next moment, you look at the symptoms, or you look at the situation, and you start thinking about the way the Word thinks. And you are there vacillating from one thing to another. Well, that's not peace, that's not faith. One moment you have faith, the moment, next moment you have unbelief. When that happens, James chapter 1, verse 7 there says, you know, let that man think that he is not going to get anything from the Lord. You cannot waver from two things. Your faith has to be stabilized, strong, and stable. based. So, you know, you have to work out yourself into that. Now, that's not dead works. That is working on yourself. That's renewing your mind. That's standing with the Word of God. That aligning yourself up with God's Word. Okay? And what that's going to be doing is, you develop a muscle. The muscle is patience. I mean, patience, another way to say, if you went to look at the Hebrew, means really perseverance, enduring without being affected by negative circumstances. So you would just develop the strength to stand under the situation that you haven't got it, but you still hold on to that. And that has to, the strength has to develop, and you had to exercise it within yourself to be able to receive, until you got to that stability within yourself that you say, this is mine, and you come to the peace that is showing the faith is actually operating all the time. Otherwise, there's not going to be peace. There's going to be a moment peace, next moment, I have to get it. Okay? Now, and let patience have his perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. See, that's God's result for you. See, God looks at your spiritual side more than your physical side. That is the important thing that he cares about, to get the transformation in you, because he knows that when you got stable there, nobody can move you. And that's going to grow as you apply to yourself and you continue to work in that road. What's going to happen, your strength, your spiritual strength, is going to be perfected. You perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God wants to get you lacking nothing. That means he wants you to be able to get the answer that he said that you should be getting. Not just hit and miss. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now, God loves us. I keep saying that, and we have to really believe that. He loves us unconditionally. Doesn't matter what we do, he still loves us. Doesn't matter what anybody says, he still loves us. Religion says, if you sin, God is mad at you. But that was not believed by the people that understood in the Old Testament, and that should not believe today. Although, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, people keep believing that and keep them being themselves, putting themselves in a trap of not being able to get anywhere. Not be able to connect with God. Because you cannot connect with somebody that is mad at you. That is going to kill you. Make you sick. To produce problems. Do all these things. I'm sorry, if that's what he's trying to do, you're running away from him. Don't go to him. God doesn't want to do those things. He wants to bless us, as much as he can. And he is going to help us as much as he can in getting there. Okay? This is his desire. Okay. And he doesn't change. If he doesn't change, there is not one day that we change all the time. Are you always stable and do the same thing? No, one day you mess it up, and then the day, really keen about God, the next day, you get caught up and you do the wrong thing, and you say, oh, put me, and you go around crying and bawling and everything else. God doesn't work that way. He's always the same. He never changes. Okay? There are so many scriptures. Okay? In the Old Testament, even. For example, Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. They mess it up all the time. But they weren't destroyed because God wasn't trying to destroy them. He was trying to help them. He was telling, come back to me. I mean, we saw so many of the scripture. You're always there. Come back. You know, let's talk. Let's reason together. Let's fix it up. The only thing you had to do is to listen to me. I'm telling you all the things that you need to know. That's what he said to us. That's from the very beginning. And even Adam, at the beginning, messed it up because he didn't listen. He went his way. Did he cut him off completely? No. He had to do what he had to do, but he just provided for him in many different ways. It was God that was going after Adam, not Adam after God, after he messed it up. That's not somebody that is mad. Somebody has compassion, that cares, feels sorry for you, like a father pity for his children. So the Lord pities those who fear him. And they fear him in this wrong translation, wrong idea. The fear of God is not be afraid of him. That being fair is being awed by the goodness and the greatness of God. Okay, so, and this is true, you know, when Jesus was born, what the angel says, you know, glory to God in the highest and peace, goodwill toward men. No, I'm mad with everybody. Okay? God doesn't change. So he was goodwill of every of man from the very beginning. Otherwise, you know, it's not that Jesus changed the things, changed the rules, spiritual laws. The spiritual laws in operation are always the same. God doesn't change. He's everywhere in the Bible. And Jesus too, you know, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was there from the beginning, and he's going to be there forever, and he's never changed. He's always ready to minister to us. Okay? So this is not a question of being mad at us. Okay. God loves us unconditionally. This is something you had to stamp inside our brain, that because needs it, because it's been so brainwashed by religion that is with this idea of God trying to be there, trying to get you. God is trying to get you back, not get you to punish you. You put yourself under the problem, the wrong things, and you get problems. That's the result of the laws, that they cannot do anything because he has to be just. But he certainly doesn't like it. That's not in his nature. Now, God has unconditional love for us, and he expects us to have unconditional love for others. He couldn't ask us to love our enemies if he hates us. Hello? That wouldn't be fair. He treats everybody the same. He's fair. If there is something that God does, he's just fair and does always the things that are right. So, you know, you can't expect, if he expects us to love our enemies, hold that idea of religion as to, you can throw it in the garbage because it's garbage. You better write it in your heart. Okay? God's spiritual and physical laws are eternal. They don't change the way God is because he said it and that was established. Okay? That's as simple as that. But one of the things he said that we can choose, we have free will, he's not going to force us to do anything. So because we have free will, we can do our own way and mess us up. And he said, don't go that way because that's going to be, you know, getting into trouble because you're going to break all the principles that are operating in the world. Now, that's Jesus in many places explained that, showed that. You know, John 10:10, you know, the thief comes but to kill and steal and destroy, but I come to give you life more abundantly. That's pretty straightforward. So, you know, if anything that is killing, stealing, and destroy, you know where it's coming from. Okay, the enemy is trying to, you know, but he's not going to do it with everybody. He does mostly with people that are in God's side. Because the other ones, they're no problem for him. They keep going and mess up things and making things worse. Okay? But we have the greater one in our side. Okay. So, you know, that should give us confidence. We should not go around afraid of anything, worrying about anything. If we are worrying about something, doesn't matter what it is, our faith is not working in us. We put ourselves in areas in which God cannot reach to us. Because, see, the only thing he can do is to actually, what we do, he can respond to the things we do. And the things he responds to is not us begging him. It's not us trying to work hard to get him to do something. Actually, he's not trying to get him to do anything. What we had to learn to do is to learn to line up what he has already done. Because what is done is set, is finished. And that's what Jesus said on the cross. When he took it on himself, it is finished. The finished work of Jesus. That's our basis for getting and doing anything that we do. And if he did it, we are saved by grace. Okay? Through faith. So we had to exercise faith to activate what Jesus did in us. He died for the whole world, but only those that activate by faith, believing what he did and thanking him and believing and starting and standing on that place are going to see it manifested in their life. That was the best deal that we can ever imagine that we got. Now, a few more minutes. Okay. All right, so we had to understand how God works. We had to understand the way he functions. Everything that we get comes from what Jesus did. It came before Jesus came as well, because they were doing it in advance of what he would do, because in the spiritual dimension, there is no time. So in the physical, he had to come at a certain time. But in the spirit, there is no difference. So they could get the benefit of something that would take up, would happen afterward, because that would happen in the spirit, and the spirit is always now. Okay. So, Jesus said it very clearly, those who believe in me, the work that I do, shall do, they shall do also, and even greater work that they do, they shall do, because I go to the Father, because he is going to do, was going to do that. And whatever you ask in my name, whatever, I will do it. And talks about works there. I mean, works? Well, wasn't faith work? Well, you had to see what, you know, the word there, work, is not, you know, the effort that we make to get the result. The works is that actually when God works in us, he works through us to do the things that Jesus did. That's a difference. Okay, if you just finish reading the part of on Ephesians that I was reading before, you know, that we were created for good works, not dead works. The good works are the works that we do because God is in us and we minister to the world. Now, you still with me? Okay. So, I'm trying to make it short. Very difficult. Okay. So, let me emphasize one thing here. Okay. And it's, strengthening that thing, okay, about God doing for us all these good things and not bad things to us. Okay. In the part that we talk about, the trials counted all joy, following verse 16 says, do not be deceived, my brother, beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift come from above and come down from the Father of lights, which is God, okay, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. See, the idea is go again on this. He never changes. See, the Father of light is the source of the light. It's like looking at the sun. The sun moves and the shadow moves. There is no variation of shadow with God. The sun, the light that comes from God is always the same. Is I love you and I'm going to do good for you. Amen? Now, let me continue though, because I wanted to say something here. Okay. Who in his own will, okay, that's God's will, brought us forth by the word of truth. So you see, it was his decision, the information that he gave us, the word of truth, the truth that is in his word. That's the way we operate. That's the way we make us progress. That's the way we can get things done by God. That's the way God is going to work in us. Okay? So this is the things that has to happen in us. The truth that we receive from his word. Just because we use the word, and if we don't understand what it is, it doesn't do anything. It's not just magic. We have to understand the word the proper way, in the same way that God intended to give it to us. And when we understand it, that becomes, we grasp the truth, or at least part of the truth that is there, and that part of the truth that we grasp is going to produce results, because the truth that set us free. That's what says in John 8:31-32. My word, stay in my word, abide in my word abide in you, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. That's how we get victory. That's how we get salvation. Free and salvation is the same thing. Healing or whatever other things that God set us, help us, all is the same. They're all included in salvation. Okay. And we can see that Jesus manifested that in all his ministry. He never refused one person to be healed. They went to him, okay? He always helped them, healed them, fixed them up, okay? Never said, sorry, you are too much of a scum. I'm sure that many of them would warn. I mean, the fact that they, we can see some of them were, because after he healed them, says, go and sin no more, otherwise, you can get it again. All right? So the idea is that he didn't look how good or bad they had behaved before. What he looked at is the fact that he had faith in him and went to him and took the step to go to him, to ask him, believing. And he did it by faith, no works. Okay? So, this is the important thing. And he did it all over the place. And the way it works by faith, by believing in the heart. That's what says in Romans. Okay? In Romans, With the heart says that one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth is confessed unto salvation. And say, you know, you take a position, make a statement. You know, it's not just a physical thing, but if you want to transfer the power from the spiritual reality to the physical reality, you had to get your body involved in it. So speaking it, acting on your faith, is becoming an essential element for you to manifest it in the physical. It's not just repeating something and thinking that it's magic. You had to act your faith and hold on to that position. Okay. See what happens. When you believe in Jesus, when you believe what he said, when you believe the word of God, what he accomplished, okay, then there is an effect that is happening also in the physical. Your action is in the spirit dimension. But the result are not just in the spiritual dimension, but also in the physical dimension. Romans 8:2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You see the two dimensions there? Okay. The law of the Spirit of life is a spiritual law. You act on faith. You believe what Jesus did. You go according to a spiritual principle that is operating in him. You have faith in him. And the result is not just a question of, your sins are forgiven, because you don't see that. But also, you know, the law of sin and death, that which as there was said at the beginning, you know, if you sin, you shall die. You die spiritually, but you die also physically. And so that breaks the physical law, because it's a secondary law subjected to the spiritual law that is more powerful. It's like, the law of lift. You know, a plane cannot fly. You just take a plane, leave it there, boom, goes on the floor. But you give him some speed, hits on the wings, produce wind, make the lift, and the aeroplane can lift. Why? Because there is a law that is more powerful than the other, that is affecting the others. It's not that by magic the plane is going to fly. It's that there is a law that is holding up the plane so that it can fly. Well, this is a very similar thing in the spiritual dimension. Are you following me? Okay. Everything was established before. There is no magic. All right. I think that I should close. Are you following me? Now, did I for the stuff? Anyway, there is a way, okay, of a strategy that Jesus had to perfect our faith. Okay. We said before, you know, that faith is perfected, you know, as you hold on, as you, you know, hold on to the trial, and you're not going to be able to, because you exercise patience. Okay? Patience is a fruit of the Spirit, not of the flesh. The flesh says, give it to me now. Today, now, everything is now. Maybe yesterday would be even better. No. Patience is the principle according to which you strengthen your faith. You perfect your faith so that your faith is perfected and you lack nothing. Now, it's too late, so I have to get it next week. It would take too long to go through it. But are you following what I'm saying?
Now, these are all principles or laws on the spiritual dimension that God showed us, and they're all in the Bible. It's nothing new. I mean, I'm just quoting one scripture after another. Okay? So there is nothing new in what I'm saying. Okay? But you have to understand how all the different parts are connected and use them together. Now, Jesus has showed us the strategy that he had, that we can use too by exercising patience to get the result that he got. I mean, God got the biggest result. I mean, Jesus got the biggest result that anybody ever got. And he went through the testing more than anybody else ever did before. So that's a good place to learn. But you know, he didn't do anything different than all the crowd of witnesses that we have before them in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrew. You know, in the book that I'm talking about here is in the book of Hebrew, chapter 12, in which they give us the strategy. In chapter 11, it says, Abraham did this by faith, and Noah did that by faith, and everybody did things by faith. And Jesus did what he did by faith too. Praise the Lord. So he is our example. We have to learn from him. He shows us exactly what to do. And if we apply this, you know, if we believe in him, the work that he do, we shall do also even greater work than this, because he's going to the Father and he's demonstrated us what to do, so that we don't have to make anything new. We have to just follow his example. So let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. This is a light unto our feet. We believe it. We stand on it. We apply to our life and believe that we are going to get the result and the promises that you gave us. We just thank you in advance, even for the things that we have not seen. Because the things that we have not seen have been done already in the heaven, in the spiritual dimension. And we thank you for that. And we are going to come again to you, claiming our promises, the one that you spoke for us to know, and that Jesus demonstrated how to receive them. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.